around Westbridge for a while, you probably know that John 10:10 is a pretty big verse for this church. And that verse goes like this: "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." What does living life to the full really mean? The answer to that is different for every person. But it starts with one common thread, and that thread is Jesus. He is the one who came to give us life to the full. And tonight, we're going to take a look at some people who are all looking for their life to the full. What we've been asking and praying to God for is that by the end of tonight, all of you will be asking Jesus, "Lord, what life to the full do you have planned for me?"
God is good. So good.
We say it all of the time.
At meals.
At holidays.
To each other.
We say it all the time.
God is good. So good. Isn't God good?
But what does it mean to think about those words?
From the time we are children, we learn.
Of God's goodness.
How he made the sun, the moon, the stars.
The animals.
But if we take the time to remember.
I can see it every day.
When there is food for me on the table.
God is so good.
God gives us a place to be forgiven.
A place for us to be loved.
He turns the lights on for me in the morning.
And he turns the lights out for me at night.
Sometimes I forget his goodness in the midst of a world that seems so lost, hopeless, lonely.
People are hungry.
God is good.
People are lost.
God is good.
People are confused.
God is good.
In a world that forgets to notice.
Today I choose to see the goodness of God.
In my life.
In your life.
Around me.
In the way I see children playing jump rope.
Red Rover, Red Rover.
Red light, green light.
Today I chose to see the goodness of God.
In the way people can be forgiven. People can be given a second chance.
We can be loved when we don't love well.
We can know grace.
He made the sun for me to feel on my face.
The rain to feed the flowers.
He gave his son so that I could live.
God is good.
God is great.
God is so good.
Hey. Oh, no. Thanks. Hey. Huh?
Keep your eye on the ball.
No, thanks. Hey. Look, I don't know what you're up to, old man, but throw this at me one more time. I'm having you arrested for assault.
Sorry.
You looked thirsty. I was thirsty.
Well, when someone gives you a gift, don't insult them.
Whatever.
Relax, this isn't Zoo Story.
What's Zoo Story?
You've never seen Zoo Story?
No, afraid not.
It's a play. Edward Albee?
Sorry.
Guy goes to the park. That would be you. Another guy comes along who annoys him.
Huh, that would be you.
Anyway, my character scares your character. And my character goads your character into killing him with a knife.
Happy play.
Astonishing, really.
Yeah, well, I hate plays.
Why am I not surprised? Hard day?
Look, if I wanted a conversation,
If you didn't want a conversation, you would have left. I do this. Come to the park, bring a puzzle, eat my lunch, bother people. Some people like the bother. 1,000 pieces.
What?
Puzzle.
1,000 pieces?
Yep, 1,000-piece puzzle.
And you can do that in one sitting?
I don't know.
What's it, your first time doing it?
No, actually, I bring it with me every day, same puzzle.
You bring the same puzzle every day, and you don't know how long it takes to do?
Nope.
You are one weird man, mister.
Maybe. Keeps me nimble.
The colors, they don't match.
What?
Yeah, the box, they don't match it.
Oh yeah, I lost the other box top a while back. I just grabbed another one.
So how
do I know what I'm making?
Uh-huh.
I don't. I have a vague memory. It's been a couple of years, but I think it's some kind of a city scene. What?
Nothing. I just... This is one weird world.
Yeah?
Okay, just for fun, do you have any money?
That kind of a suit on a panhandler? You're right, mister, this is a weird world.
I wasn't asking for money. I was asking if you had any.
No. I mean, I pay the rent. About it.
And that doesn't worry you at all?
No.
So you just come to the park every day and play with your puzzle?
Yeah, I work night shifts at the post office. My wife died about a year and a half ago. We used to come over frequently and sit on that bench, work on the puzzle, eat lunch together. Doing this reminds me of her. Got a girl?
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
Ought to marry her.
I did.
Oh, and?
And you are a nosy old man.
Comfortable and old are not the same thing. I'm 43. I'm guessing you're, 35?
33. Pretty good.
Name's Jake.
Good for you.
No name, no story, right?
Yeah, something like that.
At your car?
Yeah.
Nice. Z3.
Very good, I'm impressed.
Yeah, I like Beamers. Nice wheels.
Thanks, it's a sport package. You know what's the best part about that thing? The windshield washer fluid, when it comes out, it's heated.
Wow. Therein lies joy. What's that paper you're reading?
What, this?
Yeah.
It's nothing.
Clearly it's something. You've been looking at it for quite a while.
It's a list.
Of?
Of everything I wanted to be before I turned 35, wanted to do.
How's that going for you?
No, I guess pretty well. Let's see. Marry a girl with the first name of either B or L.
B or L?
Yeah, you know, beauty or luck.
Let me guess. Becky.
Lori. Let's see. Make $1 million.
Check.
Check. Let's see. Build my own house on 5 acres. Siberian Husky, a son, and a Corvette in the driveway.
All the above?
All the above.
Must feel pretty good.
Truthfully, I really just feel old.
Maybe you need a new list.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could do that, but... And I could probably get anything I want on a list, but... What for? What good would it do me? I would just end up just as miserable as I was before. Only worse.
What do you want?
I don't know. You tell me!
Can't tell you. All I could tell you is I sleep well at night.
Well, I don't, so why can't you tell me?
Because I don't preach to guys with no name.
Fine. Cameron. Call me Cam.
Good for you. Nice to meet you, Cam. I still don't preach.
How about a hint?
I don't know. What do you believe?
About what?
About what's out there. Reality. Life. What's worth investing in. What lasts.
Tell you the truth? Man, I don't know.
That, my friend, is a puzzle. Here, help me.
Sure, but where are we going?
Over there.
All right.
Have a seat.
Okay. Now what?
You help me with mine, I'll help you with yours. Maybe we'll get a few pieces together. I want to take the ones with the straight edge first, put them all together. Works around the outside.
All right.
You have any good teachers in your life?
Yeah, I've had a few.
Yeah, me too. Hey, let's swap a few teacher stories. I got some good ones.
All right. So, kind of like this we're doing?
Yeah, yep, exactly like that. So, what the...
Our thoughts and beliefs that we hold affect everything about us. We have become a society of people who are consumed by consumerism. So much of our unhappiness comes from wishing things were different or wishing we had something else instead of what we do have. Our consumerism tells us the more you have, the happier you are. We see this in commercials. Advertising gives us 30 to 60 second glimpses of the happiness buying these things will bring you. We are a society that will let how powerful our job is, the size of our house, the type of car we drive, and the brand of clothes we wear define who we are. These things cannot buy happiness. They cannot give you a full life like the man in our drama had to learn. Without God, you will have an emptiness, that feeling that something is missing in life. It's been reported that after the Dallas Cowboys won their first Super Bowl, Coach Tom Landry observed, "The overwhelming emotion in a few days among the players was how empty that goal was. There must be something more." The cowboys were not the first ones to learn that great professional success isn't necessarily coupled with deep satisfaction. The author of Ecclesiastes reminds us this as well. He was the king of Israel, and yet he writes in Ecclesiastes 1:3, "What do people gain from all their labors at which they toil under the sun?" In 2:11, he continues, "Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." When we have everything life has to offer, so to speak, and we still feel that we are missing something, we will continue to search for what that empty feeling is. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verses 24 through 26, "You cannot serve both God and money. I tell you not to worry about your life. Don't worry about having something to eat, drink, or wear. Isn't life more than food or clothing? Look at the birds in the sky. They don't plant or harvest. They don't even store up grain in barns. Yet your Father in heaven takes care of them. Aren't you worth more than the birds?" Yet people will continue to look everywhere except where the answers are. I read an article that had a list of 9 places unhappy people look for happiness. 1, in their next purchase. Yes, we are a nation consumed with consumerism. 2, in their paycheck. Zig Ziglar said it best, "Money won't make you happy, but everybody wants to find out for themselves." 3, in their relationship. Believing there is another person out there that can bring complete happiness into our lives. 4, their next physical enhancement, basing their happiness on physical appearance. 5, in their next competition, those who seek happiness by ruthlessly beating out another person. 6, in their next job, seeking the perfect job with high pay, few hours, and no stress. Sounds good for me, but the perfect job just doesn't exist. In their next escape, people believe that distraction from their present circumstances is a shortcut to happiness. 8, in the next person to solve their problems. Blame is a dangerous habit and a very real obstacle of happiness. And 9, in accepting things just the way they are. People think happiness is based solely on your decision to be happy, and they will look into a number of avenues to find it. But sometimes, the answer is right at your fingertips.
Mavis, that's what the sign says there.
I can read the sign, George, but it never hurts to double check. Self-help?
Well, actually, we call it self-improvement. It sounds less needy.
Okay.
Needy? I'm not needy. I'm just looking for a book.
Now, these are organized by category. Do you happen to have a category for depression after retirement?
I knew this was a bad mistake. I should have stayed in the car.
George, no, you can't do that. Now, Hal told you, you need to find this book. It works, so we have to find it.
You know what? How about I do this? I'll go have one of those expensive coffees over at the book cafe, and I'll meet you to check out, okay?
What are you talking about? You're the one who can't remember the name of the book. How am I going to recognize it? No, you need to stay here, look at the books, and figure out which one it is. Maybe it'll help jog your memory a little bit. Let's see. How to stop whining during midlife crisis.
No.
Might be worth looking at. Let's see. Retirement for fun or profit?
No.
Oh, here's a good one. How to survive your husband's retirement. That's a winner for me.
How about when you feel as useful as a comb to a bald guy?
George, that's why we're here. Now, Hal said that the book that he recommended to you changed his life. It'll work, so help me find it. Oh,
keep your marriage hot after retirement. We'll talk about that later.
You know, Mavis, the book is not going to do it, okay? I mean, come on. Hal was just telling us about this book so he could get out of the conversation. He just was trying to give me a quick fix.
Don't dismiss it that easily. Now, Ruth Long swears by the self-help section. She says no matter what your problem is, if you come to this section, you will find a book that will give you an answer. And she ought to know. She lost 35 pounds after reading Chunky No More.
Mavis.
Is this the self-help section?
They're calling it self-improvement, so you don't feel so needy.
I don't know. I need something. I've never been in this bookstore before. They all do it differently. Relationships, obsessive relationships, marriage, excuse me, divorce. How about one for successful blind dates?
I haven't come across that one yet.
I haven't come across mine yet either. In fact, if you see a tall, good-looking guy with dark curly hair looking up and down the aisles, tell me quick so he doesn't find me in this aisle.
Are you meeting somebody here?
Supposed to be. 45 minutes ago. I just hope something happened and he didn't see me waiting and walked off.
Oh, that's terrible. You are a beautiful girl. I can't believe there isn't a whole crowd of guys following you around this place.
Yeah, not really. We were supposed to meet in the cafe.
Get a kid out.
I swore I'd never do this.
Do what?
This whole online dating thing. But anyhow, we messaged back and forth, so I don't know what happened.
Did you text him?
Yeah, no response. It's no big deal, it's whatever. Someone said they have good stuff here. Women who love too much. The men who leave the women who love too much. The women who love the men who leave the women who love too much. Wow, that can go on forever. How about women who are sick of shallow relationships with men that are never the right thing?
What do you mean the right thing?
You know, that thing that makes it right inside? I'm just so tired of dating.
So you dated a lot?
Oh, yeah.
And I guess it hasn't worked out too well.
No, it's always the same thing, you know? You tell your life story, you're witty, you're charming, hope sparks fly, and most of the time they don't. You know, you get rid of the ones that make it clear what they actually are interested in, go out a few more times with the ones that are actually a little bit more decent, but it just never works. It just, I'm sorry. I guess I'm still just a little messed over what's his face not showing. How to be me. Being the best me. Oh, someone put this Bible in the wrong place. Marrying Mr. Right. It says here, if Mr. Rich Man. Apparently this lady married three different men. Twice to a millionaire, and once to an affluent politician.
I guess she didn't cover how to stay married.
Yeah. I just need one that's actually about the right guy. The right one. Guerrilla dating tactics. Sounds like I need a camouflage hat and a bazooka gun for that one. Ah, here we go. Finding Mr. Right. You know, there's one for Miss Right, too, if anyone's up for that.
No, that's okay. I've already read that one before. Didn't work out. Now I need how to get over Mrs. Right.
Oh. Girlfriend?
No.
Wife?
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm sorry. Recently?
6 months.
Oh, you should be feeling pretty okay soon then.
Right.
George, son of a gun! How are you, man?
Al, hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm great, great!
Cool.
Oh, Hal, hi.
Hi, how are you?
We were just here looking for that book that you recommended to George. He couldn't remember the name, so we're kind of looking through everything, trying to remember.
Oh, yeah, right? It's retirement. Never a negative thought.
That's it?
Yeah. It's over here somewhere. Somebody put a Bible in the wrong place. Yeah, right here. Great book. Awesome book. You'll like it. Yeah. So how are you?
Oh, I'm okay.
Just okay?
Fine.
You know, that was an excellent wedding you guys hosted last month. I guess, yeah, it's already been a month. How does it feel to have all of the kids out of the house?
Well, it's really been challenging. I mean, you know, when you've been a mom for so many years and then you're not really doing that anymore, it's, you know, the transition has been kind of tough.
I know it. Listen. This book, Emptiness Blues, a 10-day cure for loneliness and depressive thinking. I think it might help you.
Oh, thanks.
So, Hal, what brings you out here today?
You know, actually, I'm here to pick up one of the new books by Jerry Halbert, Prosperity Thinking. You know, think big, you are big. You know, I was looking at my portfolio this week, and it's really doing well, but I thought it's time to really give it a kick. He always has some great things, so I wanted to pick it up. Think big, you are big. All the people who are successful, they work, and they never have a negative thought.
Well, what happens if you do?
Do what?
Allow a negative thought.
Well, I guess you allowed depression to set in.
Well, what if you're already depressed because certain things just keep on happening that really hurt?
Well, it's really just in your perspective. It's how you look at things. I mean, a book that changed my life, I mean, really has made a difference is this one. Windsurfing Through Life with Positive Thinking. It'll make a difference, I promise.
Does it talk about dating?
Oh, it talks about dating and marriage and business and raising kids. It virtually covers everything.
Now, speaking of kids, how are your kids?
Oh, they're doing great, thanks, yeah.
Now, wasn't Harry going to be finishing up med school this fall?
Oh, he was, but he decided to do something different.
Oh, well, wasn't he just going to start his residency?
He was, but he's moved on. We don't really talk about it much at the house. You know, positive talk and positive thinking equals a positive family. Actually, I was here to pick myself up a book, but I was going to get him a book, too.
You must have a lot of books in the family.
Oh, we have a lot of books. Actually, I know this section backwards and forwards. I've read about half of the books here. They've changed my life.
Really?
Really?
It'll right. Change your life.
Riotous retirement,
yeah,
huh?
It'll change you.
Really?
I think so.
No shortage of self-help books out there, from the longtime classics like Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, or How to Win Friends and Influence People, and The Power of Positive Thinking. That's a classic that I bought myself years ago off of Amazon for $12.95. Had a big picture of the front of the book on it, and so I said, I want that. I'm having some negative thoughts. That book will help. So I clicked on the link. They sent it to me, came in the package. I ripped it open, and that's what came out. My thoughts were anything but positive when I paid $12.95 for that. Well, we have the classics like those books, but we also have new releases. They're always releasing new self-help books, books released within the last 30 days. Here's a couple. Rewire. Change Your Brain to Break Bad Habits, Overcome Addictions, and Conquer Self-Destructive Behavior. Or Dream Decoder, Interpret Your Unconscious and Understand Your Deepest Desires, Fears, and Hidden Emotions. Or The Practice, Simple Tools for Managing Stress, Finding Inner Peace, and Uncovering Happiness. All these books have one main thing in common. That they do, and they're geared towards improving your life to help a person fulfill the deepest desire that's in them, a life to the full. And that's what people are looking for. You don't see titles of books like How to Mess Up Your Life and Become a Loser in 15 Steps, or How to Quickly Get Out of Shape and Grow Huge Love Handles. No, people are looking for books that touch their innermost desire of having a better, more improved life. In fact, Amazon lists some 218,000 books to get us that life. And according to some authors, you can actually find life's missing link and achieve the ideal
life by simply following some steps and applying some principles. The problem is, more often than not, for the long term, they don't work. Now, that's not to say that some of these books aren't good for offering wisdom to help people get through difficult situations, but they should be viewed as more of a supplement rather than the bigger picture. Oftentimes, self-help books give the author's advice for solving a particular problem rather than addressing the root of the problem itself. It's like this. It's like if you had an apple tree in your backyard and you looked at that apple tree and the apples were all shriveled up and they were really sickly looking and they were just poor looking apples, and you looked at that apple tree and you said, I'm going to help those apples out. So I'm going to knit little apple blankets. And at night, I'm going to go out and I'm going to put an apple blanket over each apple to keep it warm. And then during the day, I'm going to take those apple blankets off and I'm going to pour water on each apple to help it grow. That's not going to help the apple grow. You have to address the root of the whole system. That's how you get the apples to be healthy again. You have to address the root. The truth is, we don't need to search 218,000 books to find out how to live a life that is a life to the full. In reality, we need to turn to just one book, whose author is God, and read the insight that he gives us. His word addresses the root system of our lives to ensure that we're producing good fruit. He promises to be the author who will walk with us and help us to give us a life to the full, as long as we're willing to trust him and follow him, even if it's a struggle for us at first, just like it is for this lady.
I can't sleep, Lord. There's so much noise going in my head and it just won't go away. I wish I could turn it off. You know, I'm tired. I'm tired of thinking. I'm tired of feeling. I'm tired of not wanting to feel. Why can't I just be happy? Is that too much to ask? I want to enjoy my life and my family. I guess this just isn't how I expected my life would turn out. Could you do something for me? Could you start all over again with me? Could you take my life and reshape it and make it better? You know, take away all of the pain and the hurt and the disappointment, all those bad things, and instead replace them with good things, with better things, with happy things? Could you do that for me? It's not going to happen, is it? Oh, I know you can. You just won't. To be human means we have to hurt. To hurt and struggle and cry and curse. And then like a mule following and chasing after a carrot, you hold out the Bible and you say, have peace, don't worry. I'll bring you peace. Trust me. Believe in me. I'm tired of chasing those words. I need more. I need you here with me right now while my husband and children are dreaming in their rooms. I need you to come down and I need you to take my hands and I need you to look in my eyes and say, trust me. And if you could do that, and feel my shame and my anger and my hurt and my fear, then maybe if I could see you say those words, if I could hear you speak those words to me, then maybe I'd be able to believe them. And then maybe I could finally have peace and rest. I could fall asleep to the deafening sounds of your peace in my head and in my heart. Lord Jesus, please help me believe you. Help me to trust you.
Let faith arise. It's one of my favorite songs. But maybe you're thinking, wait a minute, we're talking about life to the full tonight, right? I mean, doesn't that mean living the great adventure, being blessed by God, an overabundance of great things? Why are they bumming us out? But we're here to tell you tonight that living life to the full is amazing. It's a great adventure, and we believe there is no other way to live that is fulfilling and has meaning and purpose. However, if we were to stand up here tonight and paint you a picture of life with no trials, no testing, and no doubt, at best we would do you a disservice, and at worst, we're just lying to you. Jesus himself said only a few chapters after John 10, in John 16:33, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." The Amplified Bible puts it this way, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, be certain, be undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of the power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you." And the Message says it this way, "I've told you all this so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured, deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will continue to experience difficulties. But take heart, I've conquered the world." Living life to the full doesn't mean living a life free of pain or heartache or trial. Jesus himself promised just the opposite. What it does mean is that it is a life that is based on a solid foundation, the rock of Jesus Christ. In Matthew 7:24, Jesus says, "These words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life. They're not homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, or tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock." Building a life apart from Jesus is dangerous business. It's shaky and fragile, built on shifting sand of ever-changing societal norms, friends who can often be fickle, and a constant searching to fill a void in our lives that things don't satisfy. When we look to Jesus, working his word into our lives, we're building our life on the rock. It's only then that we can live a life that is truly life to the full. It will not be a life free from trouble, heartache, and pain. But it can be a life free of fear and full of joy no matter the circumstances, and unshakably built on the rock of Jesus Christ, who has overcome the world and for whom nothing is impossible.
Good morning. Hello?
What do you want?
Well, I saw you sell live bait.
And your point?
Well, I'd like to buy some. Oh my goodness, that is the biggest thing I've ever seen.
That would be the bait. You got your equipment?
Well, yeah, I got a brand new rod and reel right in the car.
Whoa, hold on there, Kimasabi. equipment, real equipment, flippers, scuba tank, you know, equipment.
I'm not going scuba diving. I just am going fishing, and that's why I need bait.
Did you see the sign outside?
Yes, it said live bait.
No, it says tackle, live bait.
Yeah, well, I'm not looking for tackle. I just need some bait.
You read the sign wrong. It says tackle, live bait for a reason.
What?
You have to get in the tank and tackle the bait.
Tackle that thing?
You have to get in that tank and tackle the bait.
That's ridiculous. All I need are some minnows or some worms. How am I supposed to tackle something that size?
Hold on here a minute, Buster. We take our bait seriously around here. And you said the W word, okay? Now, you can live your life easy with worms, or you can live the adventure.
You are insane.
Hey, Pappy, how's it going?
George, dude, you look like you got a busy day ahead of you.
Sure do. How's the bait today?
Oh, much better than the last time.
Yeah, well, last time was just crazy. All right, well, let's get this thing over with. I got the wife and the kids in the car waiting.
He is such a great guy.
You're all nuts in here.
Listen here, buddy, okay? You can go someplace else and go play with your little worms. Or you can take a chance and live life to the full. What's it gonna be? Worms or bait? Worms or bait?
You know, what bugs me the most is what you say actually is making sense. I could live life and play it safe, or I could live life adventurously.
Worms. Bait. Worms. Bait.
Bait.
Oh, good choice, laddie. Okay, so we got $12.50 for equipment rental.
Okay.
$5 for tank cleaning fee.
Whoa. Tank cleaning?
You did see that thing in there, right?
Gotcha. Tank cleaning.
Make up to 5,000 decisions each day. What time we get up, what we want to wear, what we're going to eat, and so on and so on. Then there are the important decisions. Who am I going to marry? Who am I going to vote for? When should I retire? God has given us brains to facilitate decision making because we have inherited a sinful nature from our ancestor Adam, we often make mistakes in our decision-making process. The good news is that God offers to help us who are in a relationship with him through his son Jesus. In fact, this is just one of three benefits that the writer of Psalm has noted in chapter 25. Verses 8 through 10 state, "The Lord is good and does what is right. He shows the proper path to those who go astray. He leads the humble in doing what is right, teaching them his way. The Lord leads with unfailing love and faithfulness to all who keep his covenant and obey his commands." So a second benefit is that God promises to teach us who follow and obey him, his will. He will bring us near to him through good times and bad. A third benefit is that we who trust and obey the Lord will have the Lord as a friend. He writes in verse 14, "The Lord is a friend to those who fear him." We can enjoy intimacy with God that those who ignore him never experience. So when we submit our mind to God, he transforms it and enables us to make sound decisions, ones that please him and benefit us. As long as we wake up every day, we will all have to make decisions. Singer and songwriter Stephen Curtis Chapman tells a story about a song he wrote after he realized he had rushed through a lot of things with his oldest daughter's life and he didn't want to do it again with his two youngest daughters. One night, while on bath duty with his two youngest daughters, who were three at the time, he was trying to get the little girls bathed and in bed so he could get back to his studio and continue to write. The girls escaped from the bath as he was preparing to shampoo them, and they were found giggling down the hall, dressed in their costumes of Cinderella and Snow White, telling Daddy they were going to the ball. When he finally accomplished their baths, the girls pleaded for him to read them a bedtime story. He told them there was no story, it was way past their bedtime. So short prayers, no drinks, and they were tucked in for the night. When he stepped out and closed the door to their room, he heard God say his oldest daughter's name, Emily. He realized right there he needed to choose not to run through these moments with these little girls as he did with his oldest, but to enjoy and treasure these moments. He goes on to say that he and his wife had the luxury of seeing their older kids grow into wonderful young adults. And because of this, they had seen with their own eyes how quickly these times really do go by. Thinking about this was very convicting, and he said that he had this thought. I do this so much. I do a lot of rushing through the moment that I am in and miss some of the important times. And I think I'm probably not alone in this. I have to write a song about these priceless moments so that I won't forget, and maybe I can help someone else remember it too. He went to his studio, and in about an hour, he wrote a song to remind him of those priceless moments. The song he wrote that night was Cinderella.
May you be the people who see God's goodness.
In the sunset.
In the helpful gesture of a friend.
In the arrival of summer.
In the arrival of winter.
May you be the people that extend your hand to those in need.
To those who need friendship.
To those who need love.
When you do this to the least of these.
May you be people who know God's goodness in the still tiny moments.
In the midst of a world that does not see God's love.
May you be the love to the strangers in your life, to the friends in your life, to your mother.
Your sister, your brother, your friend, your father.
May you extend your table and make room for the unlovable, the unforgivable, and the uncomfortable people.
In a world unwilling to love beyond their comfort zone.
May you be the people who love when love seems impossible.
Because you know that God loved you first.
Because you know.
May you be the people who have thankful hearts to our God who is so good.
May you be thankful for the huge things.
The Rocky Mountains.
The Atlantic Ocean.
The Lake Michigan.
The Grand Canyon.
Forgiveness.
May you be thankful for the small things.
A newborn baby.
A red rose.
A giggle.
A word from a friend.
A word from God.
May you be the people who know that God is good and God is kind.
God is gracious.
God is just.
God is mighty.
God is good. God is.
The word is not big enough, but we know.
May we be the people who know that God is good.
God's goodness is all throughout our daily lives, in the little things and in the big things. God is good. Jesus came to earth to give us a new life, a life of eternity with him in heaven. And he also came so that you and I can have fullness of life here on earth by a life spending it with him. He told us himself this is why he came in John 10:10, as we read before. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Tonight, we learned a little bit about what doesn't work. Sure, there are many great books written by many great people that can help us improve ourselves. Books on marriage, relationships, boundaries, parenting, managing our finances or mentoring. You name the topic and there's probably a number of great books out there. The ultimate answers to life, however, can't simply be found by reading as many books as possible from the self-help aisle. Oh, excuse me, the self-improvement aisle. Unless that book is the Bible, which people in our drama assumed was actually in the wrong section. We saw in Cam's life how having pretty much everything, an incredibly successful life, here on earth, a great job, wealth, a wife, children, everything he wanted by age 30, and he still didn't have all the puzzle pieces necessary to see and experience life to the full. Burned out, he quit his job. Life here on earth is a big box of odd-shaped puzzle pieces. Some pieces are easy to identify, and they fit nicely together and connect, while others are really impossible to understand or ever make fit. Maybe some of you are even wondering, do I even have all the pieces of my life at all? Are they even there? The God of the universe, the one who created you, he's the one that knows what's best. He can solve the puzzle of your life if you ask him to help. All the pieces are there. You've got a full set, uniquely made for you. A puzzle that can be assembled with God's leadership in your life that allows you to experience life to the full. So just what is this life to the full that we're talking about? Well, some of the characteristics of this life that God has for us, he captures in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. He says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. There's love, joy, patience, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Life to the full is a life where we become changed through Christ from who we are into who we were created to be. Where we're able to experience the perfect and limitless love of God so that we can reveal God's love to others as we want the best for them at our own expense. We learned how God doesn't really promise to answer all the riddles. He doesn't even promise to reveal to us every puzzle piece and how it fits together. What he does promise is a place where we can find joy and peace, even amidst the toughest times in our lives. And it causes the world around us to stop and take notice and wonder, what do they have that I don't? Looking at Christians and how they're set apart from those who don't follow God. We can have patience from our Heavenly Father. He accepts us exactly where we are. And a teacher and a mentor that stays with us on every step of our journey, including the times when we take the long way around and try to do our own thing. Life to the full is living lives here on earth with all these things. Each one of us is born with a God-sized hole in our heart, stemming from the entry of sin into the world at the Garden of Eden. And no matter how much you do, how long you search, how much you achieve in life, how far you travel, how successful or how many miracles you perform for others around you, the hole still remains. There's but one wedge that fits perfectly inside a God-sized hole, and it's God himself. The answer to life to full actually isn't even a complex puzzle at all. It's simply one missing space in one clear solution. It's a choice. Have you chosen God? Each and every person will have to make that choice. Jesus has done everything to save you. He's done everything to show you the way to fill that hole. He paid the debt when he died on the cross and rose for you on the third day so that you could live life to the full here on earth and be with him in eternity. If you've not made that choice to believe in Jesus Christ and place your faith in him, there's no better time than now. If you're ready to make that important decision in your life, you just need to talk to him in the quietness of your heart. You just need to say, God, I can't do this on my own. I need you to come into my life. I need you to take control. I need you to do what you do to make me whole. Show me life to the full. Ask him. He'll come in a powerful way. He'll take you from who you are and who you created to be. Tomorrow at 12 o'clock at the Cooper's home, we'll hear a number of people tell their story as they step into the pool and celebrate the choice each of them made to follow God. Our annual baptism and picnic is the most important and special date on the Westbridge calendar. The people you'll see tomorrow have already placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Their eternity is totally secure. If you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, but you've not been baptized, well, perhaps tomorrow is a day for you. Tomorrow, by being baptized, people who step in that pool honor God's command to tell the world of their decision to follow Him, to make Him number one in their lives. If you want to talk more about baptism, I encourage you to see one of the elders after the service, Miss Linda, Miss Kelly. You can talk to myself or Pastor Scott. You know what? You're all invited. If tonight's your first night at Westbridge, please come tomorrow. It doesn't matter if it's your first night, come. If you don't know how to get there, that's okay. There's directions on the information table. Please come. If the directions have run out, see me. I'll get you there. Please come. Experience life to the full tomorrow with your Westbridge family. I promise it'll be a day to remember. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for freeing us. Thank you for giving us life to the full. May you be powerful in our lives this coming week. Show us what it is that you have in store. Continue to mold us into who you have created us to be. Show us the way, Father. We're ready to listen. We hope this service put a smile on your face. It's all for you. It's all for your glory. It's all for your honor. We're humbled to serve you. In your name we ask, Father. Amen.